for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 ladies meeting, September the 4th, 2009. Diane Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on Why Is My Pain Perpetual?
It is so good to be here and in this capacity this time rather than with the children. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me in the back? God is just so awesome. Say amen. He is so awesome. Every camp meeting, now we've been coming here for almost 20 years, but He is so awesome in that over this last 20 years, without fail, every time we have been here, God has just woven a tapestry. It begins with the very first service, and He just takes that silk thread and He just weaves it, and He makes a beautiful pattern. And last night, He began. And He talked about some of the very same things that I'll talk about. And Brother Newton spoke this morning, and he talked about more of the same things. But another strand of silk was woven through that tapestry. So today, this afternoon, we'll get another string going through. Now, I hope you've come ready to receive what God has for you. Because Brother Newton set up the platform for what I'm going to share. And that is, we have an opportunity to release those things that have kept us in bondage, release those things that are in the innermost part of our heart that we don't want anybody to know about. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask the Father to touch you, to prick your heart, to open your heart, no matter what the exposure is or will be for you. It's better out than in. And when you leave this place, and should you come back, nobody's going to remember what you went through. The very first time that I came here, I was in a desperate situation. My husband and I were in a desperate situation. In fact, had God not intervened, I don't know that we would be together today. It's quite possible that we would have ended in divorce rather than continuing in what God wanted us to do. I came, went to a ladies' meeting. Some of you have heard this before. Went to the very first ladies' meeting, and the sister spoke. And I tell you, from the beginning of it till the end, the finger of God was on me. I opened myself up. I yielded to everything the Holy Spirit had. I didn't know I had some of those things in me, but they came out, and I let them go. And I tell you, I hollered. I spit. I didn't vomit, but I spit. I practically rolled on the floor. And you know what? It was okay. When it was all said and done, everybody still loved me, and I still loved everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'll still love you afterward. Now, how many of you have experienced pain in your life? Come on, let me see. Okay, the rest of you, I need to pray for a spirit of lying. We've all experienced pain. So the title of my message today is, Why Is My Pain Perpetual? Why is my pain perpetual? Could it be that I have a sting of offense? Have you ever been offended? Have you ever been offended? Many times we're offended. We could be offended just hearing someone say good morning to us. It wasn't in the right tone. It wasn't in the right attitude. You didn't smile. You didn't act like you were happy to see me this morning. could be something as simple as that, but that will offend us. So I want to ask you just a little bit more serious question. Have you ever wondered why, when you went to church and the music started, praise and worship began, and everybody was having a glorious time praising and worshiping God and entering in and happy, and there you are, you're going through the motions, you're clapping your hands, you're raising your hands, your face isn't saying the same. But have you ever wondered what was blocking you from entering into the presence of God, entering into the intimacy with God, having that relationship with Him that He so yearns for? Have you ever wondered why? Perhaps it's a sting of offense. Let's define offense to begin with. It's the act of creating resentment, hurt feelings, displeasure. Sometimes it causes sinning, wrongdoing, the act of attacking or assaulting, even aggression. Do you want to be numbered having any of those fruits manifested in your life? No, none of us do. So let's consider some truths pertaining to the sting of offense. I've got to put my glasses on. Offense doesn't just come today. Offense, the weight of offense is an accumulation from past, present, and if we're not careful, it will be in the future. So what causes a sting of offense? What causes that pain in your heart that won't go away? Issues in your life. Say issues. I have issues that have not been resolved. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's betrayal. You've been betrayed by your husband or a friend or a pastor, employer. You've been betrayed. You feel like you can't trust that person anymore that you always trusted. Maybe there's some hidden sins in your heart. There's some places in your heart that you don't want to go visit because it's just too painful. Can anybody say, yes, that might be me? What about family secrets? Perhaps there was a rape in your background. Perhaps you were molested by a family member. You shared it with your mom. You shared it with a counselor, but no one did anything about it. Perhaps you didn't share it at all, and it's deep down in there. And you're wondering, will it ever be discovered? No one believed you. No one protected you if you did tell them. When we've gone out to minister, one of the things, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, is the spirit of violation. And that is a spirit that has attacked everyone, not just women, but men as well. And you've been violated, but you never told anybody. But God, if you've been violated, today God wants you to get rid of that violation. He wants you to begin to see yourself as a king's kid. He wants you to begin to see yourself as His child, as royalty. He doesn't want you to see yourself as I'm worthless, I was used and abused. Amen? Maybe you have a lot of hurt in your life that's caused from just other people doing things to you. Maybe it's the spirit of abandonment or barrenness, loss of a loved one. Maybe you've had a parent that died prematurely and you felt that abandonment. And it just won't go away. The hurt just won't go away. When Brother Newton was talking this morning, I couldn't help but think, you know, you can't stand up here and minister. Well, you can stand up here and minister. You can, there's a lot of word that you can say and share, but it only comes through and ministers heart to heart if you've experienced it. I've experienced a lot of the things that I'll talk about. The spirit of abandonment was something that was deep down inside of me, but I didn't know it. You know how I found out it was here? I came to Lake Hamilton Camp one time, And a brother got up before the meeting started. He said, "Brother Glenn," he said, "I just feel I need to sing this song." And he began to sing about the Father and your Father's love. And the more he sang, the more of us who had the spirit of abandonment began to weep and wail because we had never dealt with the abandonment of a parent. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe that's one of the pain that you have that won't go away. I think a pain that a lot of Christians have today is their inability to relate to God, inability to get into His presence. You go to church, you raise your hands, you pray, you do everything that you're supposed to do as a Christian, but you don't feel anything. You feel like an empty shell. Can anybody identify with that? You don't feel that you have the intimacy. And you wonder, what's wrong with me? Been there, done that. What's wrong with me? There's a hindrance. There's something blocking you. It's called offense. Somebody has done you wrong somewhere along the line, and that's still in there. And so you have unforgiveness in your heart. Now, unforgiveness can work this way. You have to choose whether you want to forgive or not. It's a choice. Everything is a choice. But the way unforgiveness works is first you have the hurt. Then the resentment comes in. And then the anger comes in. Then the rage comes in. And the final blow is death. So unforgiveness is, it should be the top thing on your priority. You should never go to bed at night without praying and saying, "God, forgive me. And forgive those that have wronged me. Don't hold it to their account. Please don't hold it to my account. Wipe my slate clean." Every morning when you pray, we need to pray, "God, is there anything between me and you?" And stop and listen to Him. See what He has to say. When He brings that little picture to your mind, guess what? You need to say, "What is it?" Most of the time, you don't have to say, "What is it?" When He brings that picture of that person to your mind or that incident, you know exactly that there's something in your heart toward that person that you have not fully released. Is that right, ladies? I see one head back there. That's right. I see another one. Thank you. So we want to talk about sting. A sting is, a sting would be to prick. Like the sting of a bee. Have you ever been stung by a bee? Okay. And then another part of sting can be, another definition of sting is an iron goad. And it has the ability to sting, but to cause, it can bring about death. A sting from an iron goad is used for urging cattle or horses, but it's even used to redirect people. Can you say ouch? Sometimes we need to be redirected, don't we? Now, a bee sting, if you have a bee sting, you can take something and you can try to, they say use a credit card or use something like that, but you can get that stinger out and you'll heal in a matter of no time, really. What about if you leave that stinger in? What happens? The stinger is in and it begins to swell a little bit. It gets red. It begins to get infected because you haven't dealt with the situation. That's the same thing. That's the same way an offense works in us. When you, that offense is committed against you, you have a choice of just saying, "God, forgive me for having those thoughts. God, forgive them. Wipe my slate clean." Or you can just muse that thing, and it can fester. How do I know that? Been there, done that. I tell you what, I had a situation that I was offended. I went to the person and I said, "You have offended me, but I forgive you." Yeah, right. So I walked away thinking, oh, I hadn't forgiven her. Go to bed at night. In the middle of the night, I wake up with dreams of this person, of ways I could get back at her. Is that forgiveness? No. And, I mean, this went on. I mused this stuff in my mind. All the things that had been done to me, I just mused it in my mind. I'd play that recorder over and over again. And I was a miserable, angry person. But you know what? The devil knew, that's right, the devil knew which trigger to push to get me right back on that thing. After so many nights of dreams and waking up, and I'd even play out confrontations and the whole, I mean, I was just going on a roller coaster that was not going to stop. I said, "God, help." And I fell on my face and repented and said, "God, I really love her. And this thing has just overtaken me. I have let this spirit just overtake me." And I repented and I cast that thing out. And so I'm free. I'm free now from that. But I wanted to use that as an example for you, because even ministers go through things that you think, oh, they never have any problems. They do. We all do. But the sting of offense, and can be in your, it's in your soul. It gets into your soul. But you have to figure out when God is trying to show you that it's a sting of offense, or that he's really trying to get your attention about something. So you have to decipher that. In Romans 8:11, God says he will quicken our mortal bodies. So he'll let you know. The sting, remember we talked about a bee sting, a sting is enough to get you motivated and get you turned around and going into the right direction. What is a goad? A goad is an electric shock that probes you. Would you say that's just a little bit stronger, a little bit more powerful, and a little bit quicker than a sting? Oh, is anybody in here? Hallelujah. So what does Hebrews 4:12 say? It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So he's going to show you and exactly what you need in your life, if you will let him, and you can get rid of it just like that. Amen? Is that what you want today? Okay. So how do I know when God is pricking me? How do I know when it's not just I have a feeling, or how do you know when God's pricking you? First thing, when he's pricking you about a specific situation, it's because he wants to take you places in your life that you don't want to go. Secondly, you are fearful of dealing with the issues. Too many bad memories, too many things that may be uncovered, too much exposure, and you just don't know if you want to open yourself up to that. Well, maybe the time wasn't right. I believe that today the time is right for you to dig deep down in those things, let God pull them out, uncover them, expose them, get rid of them once and for all, so you can be set on the road of that he has planned and purposed for you, so you can go out and you can minister, you can be a light to the world. As long as you have those things in you, just like that sting, and when it gets infected, honey, it's visible. You can see it on your face. You can see it in your countenance. You can tell it by the way you walk. You can tell it by the way you sit. You can tell it by the way you speak, because there's no life that comes out of you. And you walk around like a defeated foe. But I'm here to tell you today, you have the victory in God. If you will let Him, He will make you a powerful woman of God, bold as a lion. Is that what you'd like to have today? Amen. Got one amen on that. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. You're not here by accident. You're here because God ordained for you to be here. And God has some issues with you. And He wants you to look at these issues, and He wants you to deal with them today. So we're going to do that today. Pain is overwhelming to your soul. Would you agree with that? Pain is overwhelming to your soul. It absorbs your mind. It absorbs your will. It absorbs your emotions. Let me tell you what. It's harder to carry around pain than it is to get rid of it. Are you thinking about that? It is harder. Just like they say with a smile. It takes, what, 3 muscles to smile? Is that what it is? But it takes 200 and something to frown? Pain is the same way. It's harder to carry around pain than it is to let it go. Now, one of the reasons that, or excuses, we'll call it excuses, we won't call it reasons, because there's never a reason to say, I really don't want God to do this in my life. But your soul doesn't want to because of a lack of knowledge. You don't have a real working knowledge of the Scripture and what God's Word says. And you want to protect yourself. Another one is that, and we can find that in Hosea 4:6, or you're not really submitted to the Word and the will of God. The Scripture tells us to submit ourselves, submit yourself to the Lord. So we want to submit ourselves. Raise your hands, please. Raise your hands. Close your eyes. Raise both hands. And I want you to make a commitment right now. If it's in your heart, I want you to make a commitment right now. I want you to say, Lord, I commit everything about me to you today. I release everything that you convict me of today. Thank you, Father. Put your finger on every part of my life. Free me in Jesus' name. Now, at the end of the service, we are going to have a deliverance time, and you will have an opportunity to release all of those things. We talked about musing. Some of the things we muse is, some of the things we do is, I can't believe she treated me like that. I can't believe my kids talk to me like that. I didn't raise them like that. I can't believe they're rebellious. I can't believe that my husband just will not serve God the way he's supposed to. Are you doing your part in helping him to serve God the way you're supposed to? Or the way he's supposed to? By praying for him? By speaking good things about him. I love the illustration that was given about the rice, the 2 jars of rice. Oh, I tell you what, that really hit home for me, because, you know, sometimes we tend to say things. We have a tendency to say things that we don't really mean, but you know that once the word is spoken, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Once that word is spoken, you can't take it back. I remember something I said to my mother many, many years ago. In fact, it was the year that my dad passed away. And I remember saying something to my mama. And I want you to know, to this day, I still remember what I said to her. I still regret what I said to her. Couldn't take the words back. Couldn't take the words back. I loved her dearly, but I said something I should not have said. Perhaps you've done that to your spouse or to your children or to your parents. Maybe God wants to have you make some amends there. Now, why doesn't God do something in my situation? Have any of you ever asked that? God, why don't you do something? Why don't you do something with that man that you gave me to be a husband? Why don't you do something with those kids? Why don't you do something with that lady or man or whatever? Well, I think he's tried many times. If we're honest, has he tried many times? Well, when the pain feels like it's unbearable, the enemy comes in to ensure that you can't feel or you can't think about anything else. You keep looking, you keep thinking, and you keep meditating on it. The enemy is trying to put a sting of death on you. He's trying to kill your spirituality. He's trying to kill your life. Now, I want to ask a question. You don't necessarily have to raise your hand. A very serious question. How many of you sitting in this room today can say, you know, I'm just not where I used to be in God. I used to be on fire for God, but I'm just not there anymore. I just don't have that fire burning in my bosom anymore like I used to. You've got things hidden in your heart that God wants to deal with. Amen? He would rather us walk in darkness than walk in light. The enemy's not good. He's a mean old bad thing. And you have to know how to take authority over him. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to read the scripture. And every time you hear a message, you have to go to the scripture. You have to research it. You have to say, and you have to discover, is it really what God is saying to me? You may be sitting in a church that is nothing but hype or motivational. Well, honey, that's not going to get you into glory. Only the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and knowing salvation, knowing who you are in Christ is going to get you into glory. And that's where we all want to be, from glory to glory. Amen? Job's wife. Let's take Job for an example. Job. Had an opportunity to be offended, didn't he? His wife said, okay, listen, you just go ahead and curse God and die. That would have been an easy thing for him to do, wouldn't it have been? A real easy thing. But he couldn't do that. Maybe you've had people come to you and say, you need to give up that church thing. Or you need to not be so radical. Tone it down a bit. You know, nobody really wants to be around you anymore because you're just so off the wall, way out there. Hey, I'm glad when they say that about me. I'm serious about God. I'm serious about the Word of God. So, in come the buddies, the friends. Have you had friends come in and say, listen, this is just too much. Let's just calm it down a little bit. We don't have to stir up everybody all the time. Wrong. We do have to stir up everybody all the time. It doesn't matter. God's Word, you know, when he told Saul, he said, Saul, why did you kick against the pricks? Well, you know what? You want to do that. You want to share. You want people to think, oh, well, really, when they see you coming, they want to run the other way, but they don't have an opportunity, so you get to say something about God to them. What are you doing? You're watering and you're watering and you're watering. So Job's friends wanted to create a spirit of, you've heard this word in all three messages, a spirit of compromise. He wants you to compromise. He doesn't want you to walk in the fullness of God. This is a very serious time in our nation. It's a very serious time for families. It's a very serious time for the church world. And I don't mind saying, I'm very concerned about God's people, about the church world. Are you? We need to be praying, but we don't need to be living in a watered-down church world. We need to be talking about the Word of God. But if you don't adhere to the quickenings of God, then you will submit to the pain, and it opens the door of compromise. What do you encounter when you compromise. Think about the things that you encounter when you compromise. You make connections with people that are of your same mentality. They murmur, they complain, they criticize, they never have anything good to say about anyone, do they? If you're compromising, you're depressed, you always have problems at home or family. And you know that little saying, birds of a feather flock together? When you're in that condition, it's like a magnet. You're going to be drawn to those people, and you're just going to be like glued to them. Compromise. That's what compromise will bring. You've left, the second thing is you've left God-centeredness. You're no longer God-centered, but you're problem-centered. It's all about you, all about your problems, all about your family, all about everything that's going on in the church, all the things you don't like. What is the pastor doing that irritates you? The ladies group isn't doing what it's supposed to do. The intercessory group, all they do is get together and talk. They don't really pray. Are those some things that would cause you to compromise? How do you feel when you walk away from them? When you're with your friends and you walk away, do you feel uplifted or do you feel weighted down? Can I have a response? Do you feel uplifted or do you feel weighted down? Weighted down. Do you need to be careful about who you hang around, who you fellowship with? Because it will kill you. Spiritually, it will do something to you. And let me tell you, the ladder goes up and it goes down. Just like the mountain goes up and it goes down. Mountain time, valley times, plain time, plains time. But it's up to you to stay on the course that God has designed for you. I have a, everybody, if you would, open your Bibles to Genesis 34. We could sit here and I could stand here and talk and never open the Bible. I have something to say about that. I want all of you to look at me. I have something to say about that. If you attend a church that the pastor gets up and doesn't take his Bible, doesn't have his Bible with him on the podium, just uses the little overhead, and you never take your Bible to church, or when you're in church, you never open your Bible, is there something wrong with that? There is something wrong with that. I would say either pray for the pastor so that he will be convicted of the importance of opening the Word of God, having you open the Word of God, having you read it with him as he expounds on it. You can make your little notes. I don't know how many of you have a pad and pencil today, but I'm a firm believer in that when you go to church or you come to a camp meeting, that you should have a pad and you should have a pen or pencil and you should take notes, because, you know, as smart as we are and we have the mind of Christ, we do not remember everything, because there is an enemy who comes in and says, you know, I want to snatch that away. And you will try and you will try and you will try to remember what was said that you said when it was said. You said, I've got to remember that. I don't want to forget that. It's gone. It is absolutely gone. I encourage you to jot it down. If not, get the CDs, get the DVDs, whatever you need to get. But get that so you can renew that. But I believe in reading the Word of God and the example being out of the Word of God. Now, a spiritual example of compromise. And we're going to take a little journey, because it's not just compromise. Well, it's compromise, but we're going to give you a spiritual example, and we're going to talk about different spirits along the way that are not only personal for you and for your family, but they're generational. Most of this offense that is in you is not just you. It's generational. And especially with the family, it goes back. If so-and-so didn't like, or we had a problem with this aunt, it was because of this grandpa, it was because of that. And it's generational. So let's look at chapter 34 of Genesis. And it says, verse 1, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture. Is that okay? Hallelujah. The lunch must have been too good today. Y'all are very quiet. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. So, verse 1 says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Underline defiled in your Bible. He violated her. That is a violating spirit. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spoke unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob, Dinah's father, heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. I would underline, held his peace until. Until is a time word. And so that means that sometimes when a situation comes up, you don't need to go and to confront it and lambast somebody until you have the wisdom of God as to what to do, how to handle the situation. You need to keep your peace. As hard as that may be sometimes, I speak from experience, sometimes it's not always easy to keep your peace. Amen? So he held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. He went to talk to him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved. That word grieve there means the men were offended. Oh, you can underline grieve. They were offended. There's always a scriptural example of what God is trying to say to us. They were offended. And they were wroth. They were very, very, very angry because he had brought folly or he had done wrong in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul, what is the soul? My mind, my will, my emotions. So, was this anything that God ordained? No. It was something that was coming from the soul realm. The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray to give her him to wife. And you make marriages with us and give your daughters unto us and take our daughters unto you. Well, let's take a little trip. Let's go to Exodus 23. Let's see what God's word says about that. 23 verse 32. And he says, thou shalt make no covenant, no agreement. Have the pastors, both of them that ministered before, have they talked about covenant? Covenant. You shall make no covenant with them, nor their gods. Who is the only one you're to make a covenant with? Come on, I want to hear you. The only person is you make a covenant with God. And then let's look at chapter 24, verse 3. And it said, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Isn't that a commitment that we would all like to just have engraved, not tattooed, but have engraved on our hearts? Hallelujah. But all of the words that he said, we will do. Oh, we'll pray, God, all of your words that you say to me, I will do. I will fulfill everything that you have asked me to do. So let's go back to chapter 34 and verse 10. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, That's the one who defiled him. Let me find grace in your eyes, and what you shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to the wife. He was going to do anything to have her as his wife, wasn't he? And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. Underline deceitfully. That's another spirit that we're going to deal with, the spirit of deceit. And said, because he had defiled their sister. So he said, we can't do this. But now, they wanted to get revenge, but they were going to plot it. So they had a little dialogue to plot it. Why do I say this is generational? We can go back. I have one sister who's in tune here. We can go back. So if you don't mind taking a little journey with me, let's go back to Genesis 25. See, he was trying to get the spirit of compromise to come in. God had already said, now any of you that have children, teenage daughters, teenage sons, you want to make sure that they do not marry someone that they are not compatible with. Not compatible. Equally yoked. Thank you. I went blank for a minute. Equally yoked. How do you do that? You make sure that you teach them the Word of God, not just the law of God, but the Word of God, and that you live it at home, so they will emulate you, and that's what you want them to do. Let's go to chapter 25, and we want to see where this deceit began. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren, and the Lord entreated him of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Well, there's just a little prophetic word from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord. And he said, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The battle began in the womb. Many of our battles began in the womb. My mother had 10 children. She had the first 8 in 8 years. Dynamite. She had the first 8 in 8 years. The doctor said, don't have any more children. Well, my last, the 8th child was named Aaron. And 4 years later, she went to the doctor. She was pregnant again. So what do you think happened when she went to her siblings and said, I'm pregnant again for number 9? Are you crazy? What is the matter with you? Don't you know what causes this? When she went to her in-laws and said, don't you think 8 kids is enough? And guess what? Along came me. God had a plan and a purpose for me being here. But that's not the end of the story. Rejection from the womb. Things come from the womb. When she brought me home from the hospital, well, she almost died in the hospital. She almost hemorrhaged to death with me. When I came home from the hospital, sister, you won't like this. They cut my finger off. My siblings cut my finger. See the scar? They cut the tip of my finger off. They didn't want me. I was rejected. Not only did they do that, they threw a baseball through the window where my crib was. They didn't want me. I was rejected from the womb. Ladies, if you've had a pregnancy that you didn't want, but you gave birth to that child, you rejected that child from the womb. Now, I've long since forgiven them, but you know what? I'm special to God. And most of my siblings today, we're going, she's just so fanatical, she's so religious, we don't want to have anything to do with her. But you know what? It's okay with me. Because I'm a king's kid. And I know who I am in him. I pray for them. I have one brother that comes up to me and he said, don't you talk to me about all that religion stuff. We were raised in a godly home. My mama and daddy were Christians. They raised their children in a Christian home. Why do some serve God? Why do some go the other way? Choices. You have choices. So let's get back to this. So it all began with a battle in the womb. Then the next thing is Esau. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase here. Esau sold his birthright, didn't he? They came out of the womb and Jacob was holding on to the heel. Esau was the first one. And Esau was the one who liked to go hunt and do all of that. And one day he was out hunting and he came back and he was starving. He was starving. So he said, and Jacob was making a pot of soup or something. And he said, oh, could I have something to eat? What did Jacob do? He said, if you sell your birthright, I will. I'll give it to you. So he sold his birthright. But what do you think happened to him after he sold that birthright? Was he an angry person? I would think so. Then Jacob obtains Isaac's blessing. And was that done in the right manner? It was deceitful. If you sow offense, what's going to come upon you? What does Galatians 6:8 say? If you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you reap the rewards of the spirit. So what happened to Jacob? He left and he was forever looking over his shoulder saying, is Esau coming to get me? Is Esau coming to get me? He was running scared all of the time. Where did this start? It started from his parents. So he left, he had to leave his family. But Jacob knew God. He knew the God of his fathers. And he said, I have to make it right. It doesn't matter what it costs me. I have to make it right with Esau. Was he scared? Was he scared? Yes, he was scared. He was fearful. The scripture said he was afraid. He was afraid that he would kill, Esau would kill him. But he still had to right the wrong. You have to right the wrong. You have to right the wrong. I can look at some of you, and I'm looking at you, and some of you, when your faces are saying, but I don't want to. It's too hard. It is hard. It is hard, but God gives you the grace. God gives you the grace to right the wrong. It doesn't matter if you've been involved or have been divorced. God will give you the grace to go to your ex-husband and say, I forgive you. It doesn't matter if it's a friend, whoever, a pastor. Go to him and say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Just make it right. Jacob knew that he had to make it right. And so do we. I love this. So if we could go to Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Who was the man wrestling with him? God was wrestling with him. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob. But Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and has prevailed. So when he said Israel, that means a prince of God. He said, you're no more Jacob. You're no more the deceiver. You're no more the supplanter. You're now a prince of God. Why? Because he was making the wrong right. You got to see that. He was making the wrong right. And so he was no longer going to be classified as the deceiver, the offender. For as you have power with God and with men. You have prevailed. You have won success. Doesn't that make you feel like shouting? When you know that when you make it right, or in God's eyes, you have won success. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. My life is preserved. Say, my life is preserved. Say it like you mean it now. My life is preserved. When you make that thing right, your life is preserved. That's what he did for Jacob. If he did it for Jacob, will he do it for you? Absolutely. So I want to ask you a question. Do you want to stand before God when he calls you home? Do you want to stand before God and have a whole string of offenses that's just you got a belt on with a whole string of offenses? I don't. I want to stand before God with a clean slate. So what are we going to do about that? You're offended and it's 40 years down the road. Is that what God wanted for you? Some of you have been offended a long time about some issues. But you have to remember something. He died for you. He hung on that cross just for you. He took all the offenses just for you. He took all of our sin just for you and for me. So how are we going to confront this offense? What are we going to do about it? In the scripture, Psalms 139 says, David said, "God, you're acquainted with all my ways. No matter where I go or what I do, you're acquainted with all of my ways. You know me. You know the inside out of me." You know what? You know the inside and outs of you, don't you? So if you want to stop the perpetual pain, the first thing you have to do is you have to acknowledge your pain. Say, "Acknowledge my pain." And when you feel the sting of offense and say, what do you say when it hurts? "Ouch, it hurts. It hurts." Call it what it is. Call pain, pain. Don't call it something else. Don't make an excuse for it. Call pain, pain. And say, "I have pain." Confront it. Some of you need to go back to your childhood because things happen to you. You need to go back to your childhood. You need to go back to your teenage years. Things happen to you that you've never dealt with. You may have partially dealt with them, but you've never completely dealt with them. And had God deliver you from some of the problems back then. Present your case before God. Isaiah 43:26 says, "Present your case before me." Let's go there. Let's go there just to read that. And 43:26, transposed it. 43:26. He says, "Put me in remembrance." Or let's go to verse 25 instead. It says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified. This morning he talked about sanctification. This is justification. But you want to be sanctified. You want to be holy. You can put on all the wonderful appearance. You can wear the right clothes. You can have the right hairdo. You can do the right makeup. And you can look good on the outside. But what is the inside? Is it as the rottenness of bones? Or is it pure and holy? Is your heart's cry to be pure and holy before the Lord? Is it to be on your face and be pure and holy before him? Seek his face. Are you seeking his face to make you pure and holy before him? So he said, declare, plead together, declare that you may be justified. First line of defense. The enemy comes as a thought. You have a choice. What are you going to do about it? Remember, he likes to come at our weakest point. He likes to attack you at your weakest point. He knows which buttons to push and when to push them. Ladies, if you have children, you know when they come home from school or they're getting ready to go to school and you need to get breakfast done and get them out to catch the bus or take them to school. And they're just like, I don't even know if I have shoes. I don't know where my shoes are. I don't know. I can't find my pants. I can't find my shirt. I don't want to brush my hair. All that morning routine. Did it push a button? It pushes buttons for me sometimes. You know, I have a 9-year-old, and it pushes buttons for me sometimes. Come home from school, have homework to do, but I want to play. I don't want to do homework. I'm hungry. So when the enemy comes against you, your first line of defense is to take authority over it immediately. Reject the thought. Don't entertain the thought for 1 minute. Bind it. Cast it out. Because if you don't, this is what happens. Everybody look at your feet. Take your shoes off. Take a shoe off. Take a shoe off. You know if I can get this on the camera. Take my shoe off. Might not be able to get it back on. Okay, you see your big toe, wiggle your big toe. If you don't take authority over it, then he has a toe hold. Now, the next thing you know, you continue to muse that thing, and he gets a foothold. Hold your foot up. Hold your foot up, literally. He gets a foothold. Before you know it, guess what he has? Guess what you have? He has given you a whole body wrap. I don't know about you, but I don't want that kind of body wrap. So you've got to abort those thoughts by taking authority over it. You've got to bind it. You've got to cast it out. And you've got to say, God, whatever you have to do, do it. Whatever you have to do, do it. Are y'all ready to do it? Okay. Well, here we go. How many of you have been in a full-fledged deliverance session before? Okay. Some of you know the procedure. I'll go over it with you just a little bit so we know what to expect. Okay? I will. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to call out spirits. And first of all, when deliverance is being ministered to you, you want to have your feet flat on the floor. Flat on the floor. No crossing your feet. No crossing your hands. No crossing your fingers. Just flat on the floor. And you don't want to be praying in the spirit, okay? Because if you pray in the spirit, you're not hearing what's going on. But you don't want to pray in the spirit. And the spirits will manifest in several ways. It can be one or all. First of all, you have a tendency to yawn. The first thing, though, is when a spirit is called out, wants you to just, everybody do that. And the reason you do that is because it doesn't mean you have one, but why take the chance? I mean, just, now don't do it in somebody's face in case you didn't brush your teeth after lunch. The next thing is one of the ways he manifests is you may yawn, you may cough. Many times you do a lot of coughing. In fact, you may spit up. You may throw up. And then there are other ways that it comes out. Not only the mouth, but in other ways it comes out. Okay? So we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask Diane. And Diane's here, so she'll be helping. Now, release the spirit. Now, when you start yawning, it doesn't mean that it's that particular spirit. If several have been called out, you don't know which one it is. And it doesn't really matter. Get rid of it. God knows. Just get rid of it. Okay? Now, we'll put our books aside and, I don't think you'll be able to write it. It's not going to be like that. Yeah, I am going to do this by discernment, and Diane will be helping with the deliverance part. Linda, do you want to come and help? Can you come and help? Or one of you come and help? Please, do you want to help? Or do you? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to call out spirits as the Lord quickens it to me and reveals it to me. And like I said, just, okay. If you need to cough, go ahead and cough. If it gets a little more than that, just let it go, okay? Let it go, and we will minister to you. Ava, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. Ava will also assist, okay? So let's go to the Lord first. Father, I want you to say this with me. Father, I submit myself to you for deliverance. Everything that is in me that is not of you, I ask you to remove it. I open myself up, and I'm ready. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you you're going to set me free today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over rejection. All rejection now, come out. Rejection from childhood, rejection from parents, rejection from friends, rejection from church people, rejection from pastors. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus. Come on out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, all rejection. I come against rebellion right now. In the name of Jesus, rebellion against family, a rebellion against your home. When you were a child, I come against rebellion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, release that rebellion in the name of Jesus. The thoughts that you had toward your mother, the thoughts you had toward your daddy, the thoughts you had toward some school teachers, the thoughts you had about friends, in the name of Jesus, rebelling against authority. Oh, yes. That rebellion against authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all, cough them up or just release them. You have to release them for them to go. If you keep them in, they're not going to go. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the violating spirit that has violated these women. In the name of Jesus, that violation that no one knows about, I take authority over it now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that violating spirit, that who done me wrong, that boyfriend that took something from me that was unlawful, that boyfriend that took that virginity from me, in the name of Jesus, I command you out now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the stronghold of the violating spirit in the name of Jesus. Being violated by husband. Being violated in things that I encounter on a daily basis. Rudeness in the name of Jesus. I command that violation to come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against violation now in Jesus' name. Being violated sexually by a family member. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You violation. You come out now in Jesus' name. Being violated by a family member, being violated by someone I work with, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I take authority over a spirit. I take authority over the spirit of hate, in Jesus' name. Hate. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I command you to let her go now in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. I come against it now. I bind it up. Cast it out. Let her go now in Jesus' name. Let it out, honey. It's in there. Let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all hate has to go. All revenge, I'll get back at you. In the name of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that revenge, I'll get back at you. You husband that left me for another woman, I'll get back at you in the name of Jesus. I come against you. I cast you out now in Jesus' name. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let her go. Let her go. Come on out. Come on out, honey. Cough it out. Cough it out. Come on. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. All deceit. Any deceit that I've operated in my life, I come against the spirit of deceit. Deceitfulness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all deceptive practices that I've been involved with, I command it out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Loosen, let it go now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out of her now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I come against that woundedness, that wounded spirit. In Jesus' name, I come against the wounded spirit. You've been wounded by a spouse. You've been wounded by a friend. You've been wounded in church. You've been wounded in Christianity. You've been wounded in religion. Come out now. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let it go, honey. Let it go. Let it go. I don't have to be strong anymore. I don't have to act like I'm a tower that cannot fall. Come out in Jesus' name. That wounded spirit, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of abandonment, a loss of a parent. I felt like I was abandoned. I was given up for adoption. I come against the spirit of abandonment. Loose your hold on them now in Jesus' name. I command you to loose them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That miscarriage I had, that abortion I have, I come against the spirit of abortion now in Jesus' name. The spirit of abortion, I command it out. I command it to loose its hold on you now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I come against the spirit of lying in Jesus' name. The inability to tell the truth. I come against that spirit of lying. We bind it up. We cast it out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I come against the spirit of lust. In Jesus' name. Spirit of lust, in Jesus' name. Spirit of lust, in Jesus' name. I bind you and command you to loose her. Let her go now. In Jesus' name. We take authority over it. We take authority over the spirit of lust now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I take authority over a spirit of fornication in the name of Jesus. Fornication, go now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I command you out in Jesus' name. Adultery, spirit of adultery, I command it out. Whether it be in thought or in actual commitment of the act, I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Any thoughts of fornication, any thoughts of adultery now, in Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. 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 I take authority over a spirit of barrenness now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Take authority over barrenness. In the name of Jesus. Doctors have told you I'll never have a child. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Take authority over that spirit. Command it to loose you. Let it go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of barrenness, I command you to loose her now. In the name of Jesus, you've got to go. Let it go, honey. Let it go. Put some action to it. Let it go. In Jesus' name, you spirit of abandonment, you go. In Jesus' name, not abandonment, you spirit of barrenness, go. In Jesus' name. We lose its hold on you. We lose its hold on you right now in the name of Jesus. We speak life to the fruit of your womb. Let the fruit of the womb come forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break all generational curses now in the name of Jesus. Any generational curse, we break it now. The generational curses that come with the family. Anyone practicing witchcraft in the name of Jesus, your generation, your bloodline has practiced witchcraft. We take authority over that. We break its hold on you in the name of Jesus. We bind it. We command it to go in Jesus' name. All witchcraft go in the name of Jesus. We command all generational curses to be broken right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirits of schizophrenia now, in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, we break your power over God's people. We command you to go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Schizophrenia, go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. You have no power, no right, no authority over this body. In Jesus' name, you go in Jesus' name. We take authority over mental illness, a generational curse of mental illness in your family. We take authority over it. We bind it. We command it to go in Jesus' name. Loose your hold. Go in Jesus' name. We take authority over the inability to enter into intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Come on, gang. I know that you're having a problem with having intimacy with God. We take authority over those hindering forces. We take authority over every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose them. Let them go now. Just as Moses said, let my people go. We let God's people go, that they may have intimacy with Him, come into a relationship with Him, have freedom in the Spirit with Him, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the ability to praise and worship you freely, to dance around the whole sanctuary, Father, to give honor to you, Father. Oh, we take authority over a spirit of dishonor. Ooh, in the churches. Hallelujah. Spirit of dishonor in the churches. I break its hold in Jesus' name. A spirit of dishonor in the church, in the churches, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Yeah, I take authority now over the spirit of suicide. Spirit of suicide. Suicide in your family. So you've had thoughts of suicide at one time or another in your life, and you have never had those spirits broken over you. I take authority over it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, there's more than one or two of you. Let that spirit go. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. There's nothing more that the enemy would like to do than to kill every one of God's people. And if he can catch you at a weak moment, then he has success in that. Take authority. Get rid of that spirit of suicide now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That spirit of suicide has to go in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. That spirit of suicide. Come on out of her now. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Pray for her. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. You've come to give us life and life more abundantly, that we may proclaim your works. We take authority over spirits of suicide now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Suicide, go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. You have no right. You have no power. You have no authority over this person in Jesus' name. Over God's people in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. A spirit of entrapment. We take authority over a spirit of entrapment in the name of Jesus. You feel like you're trapped in the situation you're in. We take authority over it now. We command it to loose its hold on you. We bind it. We cast it out. The spirit of entrapment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're not trapped, honey. You are free in Jesus. You are not trapped. You are free, but get rid of it. If it's that you, if you're trapped, If you're in a trap, if you're in a relationship, if you're any way that you would be trapped, you just get rid of it. Release it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over paranoia now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We call it all mental illness. We break the generational curse of mental illness, but of paranoia. Now you go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of loneliness. You spirit of loneliness, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you could be in a crowd of people, a multitude of people, but you're lonely. Take authority over the spirit of loneliness. I take authority over the spirit of unworthiness now. In Jesus' name, unworthiness, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you're worthy in Him. You're worthy in Him. Amen. Somebody has asked God over and over, why don't I have friends? Why doesn't anybody like me? God says, I love you. He will give you the friends He wants you to have, not the friends you want to have. And those are the best kinds. Those are the ones that stick closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not finished. I take authority over the spirit of compromise. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of compromise. You've compromised God's word. You've compromised yourself in situations of church, of family, of relationships. You have compromised. It has caused you to go places you didn't want to go. It has caused you to do things you didn't want to do. But you've done them because you compromised. You've compromised. Come on, take authority. Let's all, that spirit of compromise, because we all have compromised. Amen. So take a deep breath and let it go. Cough it up. The spirit of compromise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That spirit of compromise. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, the spirit of compromise, in Jesus' name. Take authority of the judgment that comes upon you when you compromise. You know, there's a judgment that comes upon you when you compromise. So we take authority over that judgment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When you compromise, there is judgment. Father, I take authority over every self-induced curse. In Jesus' name. You've cursed yourself by saying, I'm not this. I'm not that. I'll never be this and I'll never be that. I don't measure up. I'm not all the things you say I am. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the self-induced curses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of you may say, I'm too skinny. Some of you may say, I'm too big. You cursed yourself. God says you're beautiful in His sight. He's made all of us beautiful. So if you have cursed yourself in any way, if you have cursed yourself in word or deed, just release it. Release it. Release it. In Jesus' name. Come on, release that curse. In Jesus' name. You're whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to... A vow. Many of you have made vows. You've made a vow to parents. You've made a vow to children. You've made vows about what you were going to do and not do. You are the only person that can break a vow. I can't break a vow for you. You are the only person. So I want you to pray. Just in your mind, I want you to pray and ask God if you have made a vow that you need to disavow. So you break the vow that you have made. Any vow that you have made that you want to disavow that is not of God.
You break that vow. Say, Father, I break the vow of what thus and so, whatever it is, He'll show it to you if that applies to you.
Hallelujah.
Any of you free of anything? Hallelujah. Let's stand up and rejoice. Rejoice in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this time we've had together with You. Lord, we thank You You've set us free from so many things that so easily have beset us. Lord, we thank You that You have given us a message and we've gotten rid of the spirit of offense in Jesus' name. We thank You for it. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.